You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Daniel Howitt's interview with the director for Luca, Enrico Casarosa, and producer Andrea Warren.
Scopa!
We can go anywhere, do anything. We just gotta stick together.
We underdogs have to look out for each other, right?
Underdogs! This is gonna be the best summer ever. We'll ride down every road. See the whole world together. It'll be amazing. But there's just one thing.
Whoa, wait! Did you see that?
No one can find out.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Where did you boys say you were from?
Rico and Andrea, thank you so much for talking with me this morning.
Our pleasure. Nice to meet you.
You as well.
Same here. Hey.
Well, I've been so excited for Luca ever since it was announced, because I have a 2-year-old son named Luca at home.
Oh.
And so I think he's a little too young to appreciate it now, but in years to come, I think he's going to be very excited to have a movie with his name. Were there other working titles for the film, or was it always going to be Luca?
You know, yeah, there were titles with Luca in it. Sometimes there were mixes of, you know, Luca Paguro or a Summer with Luca, and some, you know, which I think is still Japan's title. Oh. But yeah, it felt like we play with a lot of titles, but there wasn't, I don't even remember any of the others, which tells you like nothing was really percolating as much.
Yeah, it felt like the simplicity of Luca. And it's Luca's story just kind of matched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pixar has developed a pretty recognizable look, and it typically leans towards realism a lot of times. And Luca really changes things up. It's very stylized. So how did you decide to go with this more stylized look for the film?
Yeah, like I think making La Luna, my short a few years back, kind of gave us a good little starting point. There was something where we pushed some textures that were, you know, pastels and watercolors in it, and we really tried to bring a little bit of a storybook feel to it. So with Luca, I knew I wanted to push it a little further even, and for a few reasons. One, that's just this a story that's very much, again, from a kid's point of view, a kid's world. So I think it always benefits from some expressionistic side to it and playfulness. And then the other, there's just something, you know, I love drawings and I come from travelogging and comics. And so we wanted to retain some of the things that we have as we work through these ideas and retaining some of the sketchy feel. There's an aliveness that I love in there. And that is a bit why we chase that. And also I feel like realism, you know, in a place like taking some, you know, the world to a place like this, we wanted to find the essence of it, a wonderful, different version than just if you just went there or looked at a photo. It just didn't feel interesting to take you there in that way. And we wanted to be lyrical. We wanted to be a bit poetic. So a lot of times it was less instead of, you know, a building with 12 windows. It was like, well, let's put just 2 key windows that we see. And actually there's a character to the place that it's a little bit, nothing's very straight because all the houses kind of get amassed together. So then we even pushed some of the interesting elements, like the wonkiness of the place. So that those are the things that really made us really push in many different levels and animations and all other level, wanting to look for something different. Yeah, we love the idea that there's different voices, right? There's a few different directors now at Pixar, first-time directors, and we're like, well, new voices, different voices, let's make our movies look different, which is kind of a cool thing I think we're embracing.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's definitely I love to see these different styles coming out. For both of you, do you happen to have a single favorite shot or image from the movie that you just really love?
That's a good question. Okay, you go first. You go first. You got something?
Well, you know, I could get asked this question. I probably could answer it 20 different ways in 20 different moments. But the one that's coming to mind is I just love it when Julia says, "Julia, my name is Julia." And I just feel like it's so Italian. It's so her. I just love her energy and spunk. It's hard to pick a favorite character, but I do really love Julia and how she turned out. So I love that moment when she corrects her name.
That's a really good one. I knew you were going to say that because it's animation wise. It's really such a, we point that out as one that feels also so Italian that the animator nailed this. Like we say, no, that's not exact. And let me correct you.
I'm going to tell you how this is.
I love that moment. Yeah. It's so tricky. There are just so many. There's one image, and sometimes, again, I think you're right. Every day you could find a different one. Here's a weird one. It's a moment where Luca has the nets in his hand, and he's helping Massimo, and he just notices Machiavelli looking at him. And it's just a real beautiful close-up on Luca and his goofiness and in this pose. And there's something about that Luca that feels so wonderful, appealing. So that one came to my mind now that we were, as I was thinking about the many shots that I love. He's kind of like busy, and then he's like, oh my gosh, what does this guy want? And we cut to Machiavelli, who's staring at him.
I loved all of those cuts to Machiavelli. It was perfect every time.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.
Well, Enrico, you've spoken many times before about how this film has been inspired by your childhood and your friendships growing up, how you felt like outsiders. Are you still in touch with that friend or those friends that you were specifically inspired by? And have you shared this film with them?
Yeah, I am in touch with Alberto, my best friend. Actually, we kept the same name, which is kind of a fun thing. We have been in touch. I mean, in fact, good conversation with him through the years. He just knew that I was kind of delving into that theme of our friendship and what was it about our friendship. I had good conversations about him, about our friendship that actually helped our movie and helped us find our ending and helped us kind of dig deeper. But he hasn't seen the movie yet. We're about to, he lives in Rome. He became an Air Force pilot. So the very Alberto of him, faced danger and adventure. And I'm about to meet him again next week, and we're about to show him the movie, which is really exciting. He also has a little cameo. We gave him the same line that I have in the English version where we say, "What's wrong with you, stupid?" or the angry fisherman. It's I left my voice in there. He has it in Italian.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we roped him into this in an interesting way.
And Andrea, what made you excited to sign on to such a personal story?
A lot of things. I'm a huge fan of the short La Luna, and to me, that really showcases, you know, Enrico's sensibility as a filmmaker. And I love, you know, I think of it as poetic. I love its lyrical. I love its pace and the sensibility in general. And so I was very excited about bringing that into a feature length film. And I think that, you know, some of the most wonderful stories from Pixar do come from personal experiences and observations. And I feel like that's sometimes how we really get to the heart of the film. And so, you know, it was exciting to jump in and try to help Enrico find that and, you know, tell the story and get it up on the screen.
Well, one last question before I go. Did either of you have any Brunos in your head as you guys were making this film? Times you wanted to turn around and stop pushing forward? And so what were those, if any, and how did you silence them?
We absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. We felt that the movie was very meta in the middle of making it. We had Brunos in our head. I think imposter syndrome it's something many of us are very used to, especially as a first time director. You know, you haven't been tested, so you're going through unknown territory. And having to embrace things you don't know or moments of challenge were such a big part of this. So sometimes we were joking, like, and sometimes the Brunos were actually persons outside of my head.
Do you want to name drop them here? Is that?
I mentioned that because at the end of the day, surrounding yourself on a project like this with Albertos that tell you, "You can do it. We can do this. Let's do this together," was the key. And that became such a wonderful camaraderie building thing. You know, so yeah, it really came down to, let's surround ourselves with, this is not easy. This is a bit of a gauntlet. The pandemic came in. There were, you know, that one certainly amplified our Brunos in our head. And but we, you know, we did kind of huddle down and persevered, and it made it all the sweeter to finish it, to be honest, and be together with our crew.
Yeah, I think, you know, I guess the bad news for kids is that, you know, as adults, we're basically telling them, Bruno doesn't go away. But I think that what we are trying to equip them with is a framing on it, understanding, like, if you kind of give it a name, you can understand that it's something that you can address. It's not just the truth coming in your mind. It's like, it's a negative thought that you can combat with you know, Albertos and positive thinking and trying to overcome your fears. So I think that, you know, that's what we're trying to inspire the kids with. And definitely, yeah, I mean, I think it took us a while to find the story. We tried a bunch of different versions. And I also hope kids understand that too, that you don't just kind of sit down, write out a thing on a piece of paper, and there you have it, you know, done. And what I think that's what's tricky and misleading about, you know, about seeing a finished product always, is that it feels like it just was always that. But it really is a lot of work to get there. And there's definitely a lot of Brunos along the way.
Well, thank you all so much for your time. Thanks so much for this film. I'm very excited for more people to discover it. So best of luck.
We're excited for Luca to discover it when the time is right.
Yes, and he's got a twin brother named Ezra. So if your next film could be Ezra.
To keep it even.
Yeah, that'd be
good. Good title. Yeah.
Perfect, thank you. All right, you have a great day.
Bye, bye, Daniel.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Daniel Howitt's interview with the director for Luca, Enrico Casarosa, and producer Andrea Warren here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Luca is currently streaming on Disney+. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and we are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening as always, and we shall see you all next time.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.